We've been talking about apathy as the great enemy of the church in our experience, in our day, the last couple of weeks. Boiled things down to that greatest commandment, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And kind of teased with one another how difficult we try to make something that's absolutely simple. We want to parse theological hairs when Jesus summed it up by saying, love God with all that you are and love your neighbor. And how we would rather do almost anything than that. We'd rather be religious than do that. And so tackling this enemy apathy, living without passion, without feeling where our faith is concerned. This week we're going to turn our attention to prayer and particularly apathy where prayer is concerned. And as Jesse mentioned, we're going to take a look at a text, one of the texts. This one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. So if you have your copy of the Scriptures, you can turn there. One of the passages where that teaching on prayer is given. Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray. And he, of course, uses that familiar passage as part of that lesson. And while you're turning there, I just thought I would bring us into cultural relevance. For those of you who live your lives on Facebook, you've already seen this. But this is a version of prayer that made its way around Facebook here in New England the last few days, particularly relevant today. Our Brady, who art in Foxborough, hallowed be thy arm. Thy bowl will come, it will be won, in Dallas as it is in New England. Give us this Sunday our weekly win, and give us many touchdown passes, but do not let the Jets pass against us. Lead us not into frustration, but deliver us to the valley of the sun. For thine is the MVP, the best in the AFC, and the glory of the Patriots forever. Amen. By the way, the prayer meeting tonight's at 7 p.m. By that point, the Patriots will have things well in hand, and we can pray for the Jets' healing. And it's good that my wife and kids are not here, because if my wife knew that I read something I got off Facebook in church. Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So as this text begins, we find Jesus praying. You know, just for fun sometime, you ought to thumb through the Gospels and count the numbers of times that that phrase, Jesus was off praying, Jesus was in a solitary place praying, Jesus was up early in the morning praying. See how central, how vital Jesus' connection to his Father was to his ministry. On one such occasion, his disciples spy him and they say, would you teach us to pray? Just like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus begins by talking about their approach to God. Look at this. You know, we call it a model prayer. But look at what Jesus says. When you pray, start Father. You know, if we're going to begin this approach, let's get that orientation right from the start. Let's recognize who He is. He's our Father. We're His sons, His daughters. We're His children, His beloved children. And you know, that word, Father, in our culture, in our experience, that causes all sorts of distorted pictures for so many people. That's a hard thing for many people, even in this room, to consider God as a father because of the difficulty we've had as a culture with our earthly fathers. But Jesus says, start here. You know, let's get this orientation right. He's our Father. We're His beloved children. And hallowed be Your name. You know, start this approach with a recognition of who He is and who I am in coming into His presence. This is the beginning. This is the orientation of prayer. Who He is and who I am. He's God and I'm not. He's Father. I'm His beloved child. Let's get this approach correct. Some of you know that about a month ago, my family and I got a dog. And this dog, his name is Buddy. He's a cute little guy. He's got a long story. He was injured, terribly injured, and he was paralyzed. And the people that owned him took him to the vet to put him down. And the vet fell in love with him and did a lot of work on him and got him to where he can get around now. He's not paralyzed anymore. But his bills were very expensive. That family said, can't take care of that. The vet couldn't put him down. They fell in love with him. My wife found out about him, and now he's in my house. All right? But let me tell you about Buddy. Every time I come home, he finds something to bring to me as a present at the door. It could be a slipper, could be a shoe, could be one of his toys. I have yet to arrive and walk into the house without this little guy meeting me, so thrilled to see me that he's got to find something good. Here, look what I got for you. Oh, and it gets better than that. Because I'll get down on the floor and wrestle with him and play with him and get his toy going and all this kind of stuff. And then he comes to me and he hugs up against my body and puts his head in my neck as I'm down on the floor with him. So I ask the vet, what's this dog doing? Putting his head in my shoulder. What's up with that? She said, he's recognizing you as the lead dog. He's saying, I want your scent on me. Now, I live with all girls. It's about time somebody recognizes that I'm the lead dog. But that approach, so thrilled to recognize who you are, to bring the very best thing I can find, to give it to you, and to want to rub up against you. Father, hallowed be Your name. Wow. Your kingdom come. You know what that says? These prayers are not about me. And how often do we make our prayers about us? Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. You know, every time I've come into this text, or its text like it in Matthew, I've always wanted to ask myself the question, would that be enough for me? If I only had my daily bread, would I still worship God? Would I still be thankful? He's blessed us so far beyond our need. And yet we're always malcontent. We're always complaining. Give us this day our daily bread. Would it be enough if that's all He blessed us with? But yet this part of the prayer recognizes again that relationship. He's the one who provides. He's the one who meets the needs. And we shouldn't forget that as we approach Him. Forgive us our sins You know, that word apathy is without feeling, without passion. How could we approach a God who forgives our sins without feeling and without passion? In my opinion, that would be to stomp upon mercy and grace. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And I read that as a plea for God's grace, because that has to be one of the hardest things for us to do, to let go of an offense and to forgive. Lead us not into temptation. And there's a part of his direction that I'm desiring. Of course, James tells us he doesn't tempt us. That's almost a verse that says, save me from me. But look at verse 5. This is what I wanted to get to. Then he said to them. You know, we think of this model prayer as the sum of what Jesus taught his disciples in answer to the question, teach us to pray. And it's not. Verse 5, then he said to them, this teaching continues. And he tells his disciples what would be a funny story, a very funny story. And see, we don't get that it's a funny story because our culture is so different. There's this guy, and friends show up at midnight or after midnight, and they're hungry, and their friend should give them some food, they think. You know, that just doesn't compute for us. First of all, no real friend arrives after midnight, at least not unannounced. We got cell phones. Somebody call, hey, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm running late, whatever it is. No one would show up unexpected after midnight to make a social visit. And if they did, they wouldn't be hungry. They'd have certainly stopped at Waffle House. That's what weird people do traveling after midnight. They'd have certainly had some waffles before they came. And even if they showed up after midnight and hungry and expected that you would feed them, you still wouldn't be out of luck because Walmart's open 24/7. And then think about the houses that we live in. Someone could knock on your door after midnight and not wake up the whole house. People upstairs wouldn't know. Square footage-wise, people on the other side of the house wouldn't know. But for the folks hearing this, it's a very different setting. First of all, the cultural expectation. When someone shows up, in Jesus' day, there was a cultural expectation that you would absolutely feed them, give them hospitality, roll out the red carpet. Wouldn't matter when they arrived. This is what you would do. It was expected in that culture. In Jesus' day and in this culture, multiple generations of a family lived in the same house, many times one room. So that knock on the door would not only wake up the friend, but the friend's parents, the friend's spouse, the friend's children, maybe even some grandchildren, depending on this family. And not only that, in many of those houses, they all stayed on a platform that was 18, 20 inches in the air, because the part that wasn't the platform, that's where the chickens and the small animals were kept. So you'd be waking up chickens, you'd be waking up goats, you'd be waking up creatures. Knocking on the door at midnight would stir up quite commotion. Stop and think about it. How tough has it been for you parents to get those babies to sleep? How'd you like somebody beating on a door and waking everybody up after midnight? You'd want to wring their necks. So as this story is rolling out, Jesus' audience is experiencing it very differently than we do. And this is a funny story. This guy's knocking and he won't stop. And then Jesus comes to his point. Verse 8. I tell you, though he won't get up to give this man bread because he's a friend, he will because of the man's persistence. Verse 9. So I say to you. See, there's the rest of the lesson. First, consider that approach. Consider whose presence you're walking into. and who you are in his presence and what he means to you. And then consider the manner in which you cry out to him. So I say to you, and note the tense of these verbs. Ask, present tense. And it will be, future tense, given to you. Seek, present tense. Future tense, and you will find. Knock, present tense. Future tense, and it will be opened for you. And then in the next verse, in verse 10, you know, he restates it for your assurance. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks will gain entrance. This is still that lesson about how do we pray, Jesus? Don't miss that. And then he brings it back to where it all started. You remember it started with the word Father. And in verse 11 and forward, now which of you fathers, if your son asked for this, would give him that? Which of you fathers, being fallen, can outgive a perfect dad, a perfect father? You know, that speaks to our culture now. I said that we have a trouble with that word father, that picture of God as a father. Because we've fixed our understanding on a fallen father instead of our heavenly father. And the picture of our heavenly father is that he waits to answer those questions that we ask, to fulfill those longings that we seek, and open the doors we knock. And then the text ends, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit, if you ask? Still a teaching on prayer. What should we be asking for? One of the things we should be asking for is that God would give us his Spirit. So we talk about apathy where prayer is concerned. Let's just take it in pieces for a moment. The approach. How passionate is your approach to prayer? Coming in like my dog Buddy, bringing the best that you have to offer, rubbing up against God to get his scent on you. Does it look anything like that? Or is it hurried? Is it an afterthought? Is it with the last breath of your day? Is it what's your approach look like? Think of your own prayer life as we look in this mirror, trying to spot apathy in our spiritual lives. What does my approach to God look like? And then to think specifically of the things that we're to ask for. As you look at that prayer, we're to ask that our needs are met. We're to ask that our sins are forgiven. There's a piece of confession in there. We're to ask for grace, for forgiving others, and for this life that we walk. Oh God, save me from me. Don't miss that we're to ask for bread to give others. Persistently. That's why when we pray together, I love it when somebody, is she here today? Paula? I love it when Paula prays, I'm going to the dentist. And I'm going to share the gospel with him. If you are going to share the gospel with a person who has their fist in your mouth and you're on drugs, ask for bread to give others whose path you cross persistently. Wow. And ask for the Holy Spirit. I liken that to the dog rubbing against you. I want that scent of you, God. I want your Spirit to fill me to overflowing. talk about prayer. But the best application is to pray. You know, you can't learn to swim sitting in a classroom. At some point, you've got to get in the pool. And I'm a firm believer that you learn to pray praying. When I came to faith in Jesus Christ at 16, I spent a summer with my brother Dave. And we prayed together every night. And I learned to pray simply being in his presence as he prayed. And then when I was in my 20s and attending a church, I met a man named Carl Hummel who was in his 80s. And I've told you about Carl before. This man was in his 80s and got on his knees to pray for hours a day. I was in my 20s, and if I was on my knees for 10 minutes, my knees hurt. But I learned to pray praying regularly with Carl and just observing his manner of prayer. And let me tell you, as often as I've been in prayer meetings with people, I've learned to pray by listening and observing to others who pray. And I've experienced those things becoming realities in my life. Getting in the pool and trying out the strokes. You've got a great opportunity to do that with our prayer meeting here. 7 p.m. on Sundays. Come and join us. You should be grabbing those opportunities with those around you. Find somebody to mentor you in prayer. Take a look in the mirror at your approach. Take a look at the mirror, in the mirror, at your content. Does it look anything like the Lord's teaching to his disciples? And is there passion there? Or is it apathy? Is it an afterthought? Something you tag on when you have a moment? As I said, we need to apply this. I'd love to apply it right now. We didn't have our prayer time we normally have before our study today. We're going to have it afterwards. I would love for us as a congregation to pray these kinds of prayers, this kind of an approach, for this kind of content, to the end that we'll experience a Father who gives abundantly to his beloved children what they need, what they ask for. So with that in mind, how about you? What can we pray about as a body of believers today? What's on your heart?